Welcome to Andres Off the Record. And in this episode, I got to talk Kobe. Because I did address a little bit of it in my unprecedented move to postpone an episode a day out of respect for the Bryant family and also for the community I service, because a lot of them were mourning the loss, as was I. I didn't expect the news to hit me as hard as it did, but yeah, it did. And all these days later, I look at all these news reports, I see the interviews and people talking about him in the past tense. I'm like, no. Like Skip Bayless from the Undisputed Show with Skip and Shannon on ESPN said, "You're Kobe Bryant. You don't die. You're too big to die." You know. And I kept thinking about Donkey from Shrek. It's like, "No, Shrek, I'm too young for you to die." Well, the fact of the matter is that, yes, he and his daughter, along with seven others, did perish in that helicopter crash that fateful morning on Sunday. And while a lot of people had mixed emotions, I'm sure, counting their blessings and appreciating, hopefully taking advantage to appreciate their time with their family and friends and hopefully making up with those that they've had some differences with, there's always an ugly side to humanity. And the ugly side of humanity is what basically I want to vent out a little bit about, because someone just died. Okay, the news is just breaking. And what must be going through your head when you have a figure that's meant a lot, not just to fans, but a community that he serviced, for someone that, yes, was flawed in his own way and was not defined by his flaw, which I'll get to in a moment. What must be going through your head that Kobe Bryant and his daughter and others are killed in a helicopter crash, and your first instinct is, let me see, let me pull it up. I need to find it. I had it here, but these tweets are deleted. The tweet was from a Washington Post journalist, Felicia Sonmez. He just died, and her first instinct is to tweet about a 2016 Daily Beast article about Kobe Bryant's disturbing rape case. That's her first instinct? Look, if you didn't like Kobe, you didn't like Kobe. What the hell's that? And then there was a huge backlash against her on Twitter for having done that, and rightly so too, to have it all slammed on her face. Like, what the hell are you doing? It's disgraceful, disingenuous, and just all around vile. And her instinct was not to take it back, rather defend it. Any public figure is worth remembering in their totality, even if the public figure is loved, and that totality unsettling, she says. Well, she's been put on administrative leave. Rumor is she might be fired. Washington Post put her on administrative leave after tweeting about Kobe Bryant's rape case. The Washington Post said that they're going to review this to see if it violated their terms of use for social media, but it doesn't reflect the journalistic integrity of the Washington Post itself, blah, blah, blah. Washington Post own media critic and Guild have slammed the suspension as misguided, blah, blah, blah. It's not misguided. It's rightly so, and this woman found herself on the wrong side of history in this case. There was another thing that popped up in the news outlets that it looked like a reporter or an anchor for MSNBC sounded like she stuttered. There was a 15-second delay, so it was bleeped, but another channel picked it up called Gabian, I think, and they posted the video up on Twitter to show the flub sounded like the racial slur that started with an N, because the lady was saying Los Angeles Lakers, or at least that's what she was supposed to have said, but instead of an L she was saying an N, and the stutter, people assumed that she was saying the racial slur, which then also in of itself caused a backlash, to which the anchor responded in saying that she did not say that, she mixed up Knickers and Lakers, and that was her flub, whatever. I don't like MSNBC for a lot of reasons. I don't know what exactly she said until we hear the uncensored part. We're not really going to know. But one thing I'll say about this, if this anchor was broken up about that news, I'll believe her stutter. If she was broken up about that news, I'll believe her stutter, because that was just like everybody else, you know, just trying to process something where you just couldn't bring yourself to words, you couldn't bring yourself to terms. And that's kind of what I want to get at now, in shifting away from the stupid news that went around, and people not trying to highlight, well, you know, what happened in 2003 in Colorado, you know, Kobe Bryant raped somebody. Raped is what the woman was accusing when it was assumed to have been a consensual thing. Now, in the Me Too movement, they're like, yeah, believe women, believe women. The charges against Kobe Bryant, here's the facts of the case. The charges against Kobe Bryant were dropped. Both acknowledged the encounter happened. Both acknowledged that they looked at it a different way. And Kobe said as much after the case. But the charges against him were dropped and it was settled out of court. So if it was a criminal case, the criminal charges against him should have been seen through. And they weren't. Oh, because, you know, rich and powerful. But I thought he was a black guy and black guys don't get away with it. No, so it didn't have anything to do with that. You can't have these different stereotypes and racial cards thrown away if they're meant to work for you or against you or to service your convenience. Kobe didn't do that, and Kobe was not above the law. The situation was between both of them, and Kobe early in his career screwed up, because the biggest crime here wasn't that, because there was no proof of a rape. It was proof of involvement with another woman. That was not his wife. And that takes balls to have admit that much. And in his early career, I was not a Kobe Bryant fan. You know, I didn't like his attitude, his cockiness, in contrast to what I saw in Michael Jordan off the court. You know, it's like Michael Jordan to me was a lot more approachable. To me, like, this, who is this stuck up dude that thinks he's better than everybody else? You know, and me having been bullied in high school, more of a reason why I didn't like him, because his attitude came across as those that would bully me in high school. So I kind of saw him as a bully. I didn't see him as this basketball player assassin with the Mamba mentality, you know, like he was just so focused and determined. I never saw that in that way, because, well, first off, I couldn't see it in that way. I was just a kid too, growing up with him, so to speak. And I would say after the case and seeing how the media all turned against him, how this thing was just everywhere, you know, it's really hard when you're fresh out of high school and having to be thrown to an almost international limelight immediately and having to deal with the media on a day-to-day basis. So to see how much he's changed a lot, especially since the incident in 2003, to change a lot, to kind of tone down the rhetoric and let his game play do the talking for him, and ultimately get to see Kobe the father, you know, that's different. It's his daughter, 13 years old, you know, just to see how proud he was of his girls, and how the story goes that Gianna, his 13-year-old daughter, was the one that, after Kobe retired, was the one that kind of like corralled him back into basketball, because Kobe moved on from basketball. He won an Oscar and an Emmy because of his media company, a production company. No, he was succeeding outside of the basketball world. And his daughter was the up-and-coming descendant to carry on the Kobe Bryant mentality and tradition of being a ball player. And when you see those pictures, my goodness, she looked like him, she moved like him, and all that. You know, and as a father myself, you know, it's heartbreaking. There's a picture of Gianna smiling where it's like, I almost saw my daughter there. No joke, because my daughter, like, holy smokes, is that Audrey? No. The super zoom panned out, and you could see that it was Kobe sitting next to her on the sidelines of a game. I'm like, oh my goodness, I almost thought that was my daughter. You know, again, back to the ugliness of humanity. Some people are saying, well, he's not the only one that died on the helicopter. You're right. He's not the only one that died on the helicopter. and neither was Gianna. The memory of all those on it. Why is Colby taking the limelight? How many other accidents happened that Sunday? You're not complaining the same about them. Because, oh, you're not giving them any more credit. It's like, what about all the other people that died over the weekend that you didn't know? I'm not trying to downplay anyone's death here. I'm simply saying this. The gravity of the tragedy is because the one that was on the helicopter was not someone that was unknown to people. He was known. And in one way, shape, or form, he's had an influence on your life, for better or worse. As someone that's not a basketball fan, I can tell you he had an impact on my life. For people that didn't like him because the Lakers would beat your team, he had an impact on your life one way or another. It wasn't just, oh, a celebrity. It wasn't just a singer. Look, some people are equal. Oh my goodness, the tragedy of like Michael Jackson, Elvis Presley, and Whitney Houston. I do not compare them at all, because Kobe Bryant was not living a destructive lifestyle. He was trying to be a better person, and he was a better person than he used to be. He's matured, learned from his mistakes, moved on, family man, helping his community, helping those around him, and just passing on that mentality to next generations, inspiring people the world over. He had a worldwide impact. It wasn't just another celebrity pretending to be somebody he wasn't, getting paid millions of dollars and being stuck up and pretentious. No, far from it. Completely the opposite. Some people call him Mr. Los Angeles. That is one of the main reasons I ended up postponing my episode for my main show, because I'm like, how can I air an episode when I have to address this? You know, you're going to remember where you were when this news happened, and you're going to remember what you did, because that's the impact that he had, the legacy he had both on and off the court. What made him human, what made him great. The guy and I didn't agree on politics. Far from it, man. But that, and even some conservatives, I'll take a step further. Some Christians were like, oh yeah, the liberal Democrat. Oh yeah, this guy. You know, it's like, what the heck? It's like, it's mind-boggling, the ugliness of humanity. I'm not pointing out at just haters. I'm talking about people that are supposed to be loving as well, and understanding and compassionate. They were even throwing shade at Kobe Bryant's death. He was not the only one on that helicopter. His future was on that helicopter. That helicopter didn't just suddenly go down. There was a process. Imagine you being on that helicopter with your daughter and realizing the inevitable is about to happen, where this is it, this is the end. I imagine him, as a loving father he was, trying to console his daughter amidst screams of terror and fright from everybody on that helicopter, saying his final farewells and telling her how much he loves her right before the end. No, if it was just Kobe, it was shocking enough. But the sucker punch is that his daughter was carrying on his legacy. That's the one that hits me the hardest. As a father myself, I only have one princess. I have two princes, but one princess. And as culturally speaking, or as what tends to be tradition, the son is carrying on a tradition. Yeah, he's carrying on my name, and he bears more responsibility, but my daughter has a legacy to carry too. Gianna's life was cut real short, way too soon. So for all those people that just wanted to post negative news or trying to downplay, oh, he wasn't the only one on that helicopter, they don't know what they're talking about. because they're just trying to downplay the impact of this man just because they have a vendetta against him or a grudge against him. Again, I was not a basketball fan. Mostly because it was because of basketball that I injured my back. So I'm like, I hate this sport. And I didn't like him in his early years of his career. And then I just saw how much he changed. And how totally different he was when he became a father. And you just got a feel for his surviving daughters and his wife to lose them like that. That morning he took communion before he got onto the chopper with the pilot, with his daughter's friends, the other coach that was on the helicopter as well, to fly out there to coach a game. Or I think it was Thousand Oaks or something like that, because the crash happened in Calabasas. He took off from Orange County. It was a very gloomy morning. I woke up that morning, I'm like, wow, where did this haze come from? Who knew it was a foreshadowing? Tragic, tragic event. And my condolences to all those that lost loved ones, and for all of us that are sharing in the grief and disbelief. It's going to take a while to get past this one. A long time. Denial. There's a lot of denial. But it happened. And God rest their souls. Tragically cut too short. But I like to think that they were spared of something bigger. From seeing something ugly. At least that's the only positive I try to get out of it in that sense. All right. That's it for this one.